The WNBA closing in on the halfway point. Our guest, the returning champ, covers The Beat, The Liberty, Bleacher Report, The Next Hoops. She's a grad of the University of Rochester. You can follow her on Twitter. Use the handle at ClassicJPow. Jackie Powell joins us. Appreciate the time, Jackie. How's life in the Big Apple?
Life is all right. Thanks so much for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
So a little background, because it's obvious you do more than just write about the games. You've got an incredible knowledge, a love of the game. So where you're from, was it a sports family? Was there a particular player or team that kind of got you so interested in sports you decided, you know what, I could do this on a professional level?
That's a great question, actually. So I grew up more as a baseball fan. Baseball is very much in my family and sort of our family history. My grandparents were good friends with Jimmy Pearsall,
wow,
who played for the Boston Red Sox. And I became a pretty big Red Sox fan. And what was weird is that my grandparents were, well, my grandmother was a huge Yankee fan. So we had this rivalry for a long time. And my first T-ball team at age 5 was the Red Sox, and I had the best time ever. And I decided that that was going to be my team forever. So obviously, while I was growing up, it was the David Ortiz era. He was my favorite. He was my absolute favorite. And so that sort of transitioned into me just learning about sports in general. And then I found that I was much more interested in how sport and society and politics and race and pop culture, I was interested in more of the intersectional stories in sports. And I found that the WNBA is a league that regards sports intersectionalism in, I guess, the best way. Although that does sound a bit vague, but the WNBA values how intersectional sports can be, and that was what attracted me to the space. And so I started covering the W in 2019, and I wasn't much of a basketball fan, and I didn't know so much about basketball at the time, and so I taught myself the game when I began covering the Liberty in 2019.
Well, certainly it's worked. You are self-taught because you offer terrific insight. In your Twitter bio, we find one of the handles is at The Next Hoops. For folks who want to check it out online, it's thenexthoops.com. What could you tell us about that site? And for folks who log on, check it out, you know, what gets covered? What kind of content are they going to find?
Oh, of course, yes, and please subscribe. But I'll pitch that after I explain.
Okay. So
the Next Hoops is a 24-hour, 365-day women's basketball newsroom. It is an outlet. It's an independent outlet that covers women's basketball the way it should be. So what that means is there are beat reporters that cover every WNBA team. There are reporters who cover specific college conferences. There are people who cover the EuroLeague, which is the, I guess, the best league of overseas professional basketball. I'm trying to think what else we have. Those are the main buckets of the things we cover. But as we know, women's basketball is still an undercovered sport.
Sure.
And what we try to do at The Next is provide the consistent coverage that the sport deserves, that the consistent coverage that Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, I guess the NHL, and even MLS, although MLS gets just as many viewers as the WNBA. That's a whole other digression we could talk about. But that is our mission at The Next.
Talking with Jackie Powell, who I see now you're officially a jet setter because you got to walk the red carpet. I know you were at the legendary Tribeca Film Festival. So if you kind of could share the experience, what could you tell us? The movie Unfinished Business, about the WNBA and a focus on the Liberty. What kind of a night was that?
Oh, it was fabulous. I mean, I myself didn't walk the red carpet. I took a picture in front of a Tribeca background afterward, but I was reporting on the red carpet. And it was funny because my mentor and good friend, Howard Megdahl, who is the editor-in-chief and the founder of The Next, he was in the movie. He was asked a bunch of questions about the status of the league and why the league operates and such. So I joked with him. He walked the red carpet because he was in the movie. But it was quite a night, and I think what stood out the most to me was seeing how the Liberty legends, the players from when the league just began, how they interacted and bonded with the current players. And just getting a sense of how the current players understand, or they have a better understanding now as to what it means to not only be a player in this league and the legacy that comes with it, but also what it means to be a member of the New York Liberty and to wear the Seafoam black and white and to play in New York. Because I think not everyone understands what that means, and it requires a level of grit, a focus, an energy, and a gumption to be able to do. And so I think that was what stood out to me, watching the players from different generations hug each other and embrace each other. And there was actually quite a focus on just sort of where the team is now. I mean, in 2021, it was very much so an up and down season. They made it to the playoffs, but then lost at the last moment to the coach who would become their coach. And the film, it really opened us up, to those final moments, to how it looked like they were on the right track during that final playoff loss. And there was a focus during the post-film panel where Teresa Weatherspoon, an absolute legend of the W and also of the franchise, she gets up and she talks about how she believes that Sandy Brondello is the leader who will hopefully get this franchise closer, if not to its first WNBA championship.
You know, along those lines, I don't have to tell you, out here, we've got a nice little West Coast fan club for the Liberty because, you know, Sabrina, now year three, just named the East Conference Player of the Week. She's had some great games. But when you think of her injury-plagued rookie year, then last season, she was never really right. Just how noticeable has the uptick in her production been now that she's literally 100% Sabrina?
Oh, it's been very noticeable. It's been incredibly noticeable. I think Sabrina has learned a lot of valuable lessons since 2021. Because she really wanted to play, and I guess because there wasn't a coaching staff that could, I guess, understand that she wasn't completely ready to go yet, there were a lot of growing pains, mental growing pains, in addition to the physical ones. But I also think that Sandy Brondello and her coaching staff, they understand a little bit better the types of positions that they need to put Sabrina in to succeed. And they understand the ways in which turnovers can be, I guess, ameliorated. An issue the Liberty had last year, which it wasn't really curtailed, and although maybe I shouldn't be blaming the former coaching staff so much because all the players were very new, but the Liberty started this year turning the ball over. You know, they had the most turnovers in the league, and I want to say, I'm looking at the stats, in the last five games, the Liberty have had the fourth best assist-to-turnover ratio at 1.61. So in the last five or six games, in the games where Sabrina has looked like herself, the team has been turning the ball over less. I mean, there was one game where they notched up 31 assists. And I think you just sort of see the team has always been built around her. So she is going to be the one that propels the rest of them. And so while you can say that, at the same time, the team also has to be well-balanced. It can't just be three people that are able to make an impact in addition to Sabrina. There are players on this team, like the second-year player who is 6'10", Han Shu, who comes in and is able to make a huge impact off the bench. So I really, what I'm seeing from Sabrina is I'm also seeing just her ability to anticipate what defenses are going to do. And that's something that also takes time. And WNBA defenses are a huge animal in comparison to what she saw in college.
Sure. A couple final thoughts for Jackie Powell. One issue this season, health. I mean, the best scorer from last year, her first with the Liberty, but Nyjah Laney had meniscus surgery. I mean, Jackie, she's only played four games. You played about her today. You tweeted about her today. How are we doing as far as rehab, and how big of a jolt is she going to provide when she finally gets back out there?
Yeah, I mean, Laney, according to when she got her surgery, which I believe was on, was it May 22nd? I'd have to look, but it was toward the end of the month of May. They said she'd be out for approximately 2 months, which means the earliest time we could see a return is late July, early August. And mind you, the season ends mid-August, and then the playoffs run from mid-August through mid-September. So they're going to have to battle a lot of this year without her. And although she was doing some spot-up shooting today, as I quote-tweeted a colleague of mine's tweet, I did hear that she wasn't doing a lot of lateral movement. But the good news is that when I saw her at the premiere, she was in really good spirits. And it's been such a hard month for her because all she wants to do is just go out there and play and contribute for her team. And so it's been unfortunate. But to be quite honest, I think with the Nyjah Laney's absence, it's also been a bit of a jolt to Sabrina, if you think about it.
Right.
Because something that we learned in Unfinished Business is Nyjah Laney is the heart and soul of this team when it comes to vocal leadership. Nyjah Laney is the one who holds this team accountable. And so Sabrina has had the opportunity to come into her own a little bit and, I guess, understand and grasp hold of the fact that this team is very much so hers as well.
Certainly, the one thing I want to wrap with, we mentioned Sandy Brondello, obviously an enormous offseason move. I mean, you know, championship caliber coach, and we've talked about how the previous staff took some heat. But keeping this team competitive, we mentioned losing Laney. Didi Richards, I think, played a game. So how about Coach Brondello's impact, and obviously a small sample size, in just with all this team has had to deal with?
So let me just say, one of the reasons why the Liberty hired Sandy Brondello was because they wanted someone. So first, they wanted a proven winner, and that's, she checks that box. But second, they wanted to hire someone who understands the amount of adversity that WNBA teams go through every single year. Sandy Brondello was a player for, and she played professionally for around 10 years, and she's coached in this league for a very long time. I think she says there have only been 3 years where she wasn't either a player or an assistant coach or a coach in this league, I think like 3 to 5 years. So she, I mean, lives and breathes this league, and she understands the culture of it. She understands that injuries happen because of the less than stellar conditions at times when it comes to travel or when it comes to going from an overseas season to a WNBA season. She understands that, and she knows how to create and execute in-season adjustments. And so I believe her in-season adjustments, which include having Crystal Dangerfield play alongside Sabrina, a more pure point guard that takes the pressure off of her. Also, and I guess this is more credit to the GM, but bringing in Maureen Johannes, this French guard who can create off the dribble and fills in some of the holes that they're without Benai Gelaney. And so what I heard from Crystal Dangerfield, actually, is that something that Sandy does is she's very positive and she's very good at keeping people together amid things being hard and tough. And so I think it was James Waite, the head coach of the Chicago Sky, or the defending champion Chicago Sky, who said that if there was going to be a coach that could turn around a franchise that started 1-7, it is Sandy Brondello.
Folks, she is Jackie Powell. Check out her work, her coverage, her writing, Bleacher Report, The Next Hoops, online, thenexthoops.com. Her Twitter handle is at ClassicJPow. Jackie, you do terrific work, really keep us wired in. Much appreciate the time. Be well, and of course, as the season moves along, look forward to talking again. Thanks so much, Jackie.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you.
All right, take care.